Bava Kamma, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Gimel. This Mishnah is a list of items, and I always looked at this list as almost written in code, and we need to decode each one of these statements in the Mishnah. The first halacha that the Mishnah tells us is Shum Kesef, which is that we need to evaluate the damage based on its value. And what that means is that, let's say for an example, if Reuven's ox were to damage Shimon's talus, and in the process, the talus also managed to trip up the Reuven's ox. So we don't say it's a wash and the two cancel each other out and there's no need to pay restitution. No, we evaluate each damage separately. We say if Reuven's shore damaged the talus for 50 shekel, and the damage to Reuven's shore was only 25 shekel, so we need to assess it based on the shkolim, based on the actual value. We don't just wash it out based on the fact they both damaged each other. That's the idea of shum kesef. The next halacha, shava kesef, is referring to something which has the value of kesef, but not kesef itself, and that is real estate. What is the scenario in which we utilize real estate? And that is if the person who, the mazik, the person who did the damage or responsible for the damage, passed away, and his yesomim, his inheritors, are going to pay for the damage, they are only obligated to pay from his real estate and not from any of his portable items, from his metaltalim, because only his real estate is meshubed, has a lien against it for the damage. The Mishnah now tells us it must happen, this assessment has to happen b'fnei Beis Din, has to be in front of Beis Din. Beis Din is a reference to people who have smicha. Now, smicha isn't the smicha that we have nowadays. It's referring to the smicha in which was Rebbe the Talmud going back to Moshe Rabbeinu, and that is something that has ceased sometime in the time of the Gemara, and we don't have it today, but that's what b'fnei Beis Din is referring to. Next, it says v'al pi edim. It has to be by the say-so of witnesses, and those witnesses need to be b'nei chorin. They need to be free people. They can't be slaves. They can't be avadim. B'nei bris. They also have to be Jewish. They cannot be non-Jewish. Additionally, v'anoshim b'chlal nezek. Women are also included as in nezek. That is to say, if a woman's property got damaged, the same halachas apply to her property as well as to a man's. V'hanizik v'amazik b'tashlumin. Finally, the Mishnah concludes and says that there are times when both the nizik, the person who received the damage, v'amazik, and the person who caused the damage, both have an obligation to pay restitution. And how is it possible that the nizik, the person who was damaged, has to pay restitution? It doesn't really pay restitution. It means that he has a chelek, he has a portion in the restitution, and that is to say in a scenario where, let's say, Shimon's ox was damaged, it was killed, I should say. And since between the time of the death of the shore of the ox and the time of Hamada Bedin, when they actually went to court, let's say the value of the carcass has some value as dog food, etc. In the interim, the carcass has gone down in value. Since the person who was damaged, he gets to keep the carcass that had belonged to him, so it's no longer worth what it was at the time of the damage. And since it's no longer worth what it was at the time of the damage, he's really not getting his full damage. He's not getting the full amount of what he lost because it's gone down in value. But despite that, we base it on the time of the death, not on the time of Hamada Bedin. Therefore, he is also, the person who was damaged, the Nizik, is also really participating in the loss.